Christy gazed around the room, seeing everybody that she'd seen earlier when Ryan had killed Florin. She didn't know how they'd come to be inside the building, or even where it was, and that scared her. She tried to sit up, but her stomach turned sick on her, revolving in wicked flips. Mildred put her arms around Christy, and the redhead settled back into the woman's arms. Christy glanced at Dean, who was lying with one ear pressed to the ground for some reason. She thought she'd ask him why, but she didn't have the strength.
I'm here. Had to take care of a little business.
What's your name?
Carter. And yourself?
My name's Naylor.
Ryan scanned the terrain, watching the Baron's men slither between the stacks of dead wags. Maybe Naylor was giving the appearance of stepping down his hostile actions, but he wasn't wasting any time in shoring up his position. Clearly, the man had experience.
You're a Baron's man, Naylor?
Yeah, working as a sec chief for Baron Curtis Shaker.
Don't know him.
Got a ville down south, maybe 2 weeks ride from here.
You got a reason for being in Idaho Falls?
I was sent here to find somebody.
Can't be me.
Man I'm looking for owes the Baron some blood. If you stand in the way of me getting it back, there's gonna be trouble.
I don't like getting threatened.
Ryan cut his eye over the four men in the room behind him. He automatically discounted Cleet, the husband. If Naylor had been looking for a man with a wife, the sec chief would have said so. He kept his gaze on Elmore and the two other men.
I'm not threatening, Carter. Just laying the ace on the line so we all know what we're looking at.
How do you know the man you're looking for was here?
Trailed him. Got a man here with me who knows him by sight.
How do you know you can trust him?
I choose to. Hey, Carter, them people in there, you don't owe them anything.
No, you're right about that. But I gave them my word if they threw in with us, I'd see their way clear of this bastard situation.
You're drawing to a hard hand if you think you can live up to that. Fuck, I don't think you're gonna get past those cold hearts. And I saw the woman you carried in myself. Been a stranger, you wouldn't have done that. Means you got one of your own wounded. Hate to see you hard up against it like that after all the chilling you did against these cold hearts.
I usually do what I say I'll do.
Maybe we can cut a deal. Because I don't set too well with losing any more of my people either.
I'm listening.
Dean lay quiet and still on the ground. He heard his father's voice and the exchange with the sec chief outside, but he also thought he heard something moving around in the ground below the building. At first, he thought it was just a vibration, maybe something settling outside after all the rain. Then, when it had kept up, he thought it could be something else. He kept the Browning high power in his fist and took out his turquoise-handled throwing knife. Holding it butt down, he slammed the heel of his hand against the ground. The knife's hilt plunged into the packed earth again and again, making him doubt what he'd heard. Then the next blow brought what Dean had been expecting to hear. Rising to his knees, his heart thumping fast, small bits of dirt fell into the groove and disappeared. The vibration he'd been feeling grew stronger as he hooked the fingers of his free hand into the groove. Ryan turned from the three silent men before him and back to the window.
Can you give me something more to go on? None of the guys I've got in here appear too willing to fess up.
Man's got a tattoo. On the inside of his forearm, you'll find a big blue dot with lighter blue rings around it. Then there's two twisted lines of orange running through it.
The one-eyed man lifted the Sig Sauer to point in the general direction of Elmore and the two other men.
One of you is lying, and I intend to have the man who is. Bastard, quick.
Suddenly, the ground beneath Dean erupted.
Dean, get back!
Ryan brought his gun around, knowing in his heart he was already too late. Dean dodged back from the fury that boiled out of the tunnel he'd uncovered on the floor. Knowing he couldn't get clear to let his father use the 9mm blaster, he rocked forward again and seized one of the animal's ears in his fist, narrowly avoiding the flashing teeth that snapped at his throat. Throwing his weight against the dog, setting his shoulder beneath its jaw so it couldn't bite him, Dean landed on top of the animal. He brought the turquoise-hilted knife around in a short arc, driving it home between the creature's ribs.
You okay?
Dean pulled back from the dead dog, involuntarily shuddering. He cleaned his blade on the animal's fur.
Bastard dog! He sounded small. I thought maybe he was a rat.
You should have had somebody back in your play when you popped that bastard door. Think about what you're doing before you get us all killed.
I thought I was!
Dean's emotions twisted inside him, not knowing how he was supposed to feel. The adrenaline still raced through his system because he'd found something his father and JB had missed, and because the dog had nearly taken his face off. Now he felt bad on top of it, because his father was right.
If that had been a man in there with an automatic weapon, we'd have all been chilled.
I wouldn't have let that happen to us. I'd have chilled him. Bastard dog surprised me jumping like that. A man, he wouldn't have done that.
Dean forced himself to meet his father's unflinching gaze.
I reckon you're right at that, Dean. You took that dog out before it could get loose in here.
Slick, like water over a smooth pebble. Dog never had a chance.
We need to find out where it goes, or it's something we can use. Looks like a dog run the Cold Arch used at one time, to maybe send dogs out after anybody who hold them up in here. You feel up to finding that out?
Yeah.
Jack moved to stand by Dean, his leaf-bladed throwing knives gleaming in his hands.
I'll go with him.
Good, but not far. I don't have any plans on moving from here any too soon. But when we do, I don't want to have to come looking.
Dean glared down into the hole, but it was hard to see in the darkness. One thing was for certain, it wasn't very deep, maybe 2.5 feet tall at best. He took an oil lamp from the shelves at the back of the room and lit it with a self-light from the gear he carried in his pockets. When he had the wick going well, he lowered the hand-blown hurricane glass around it once more. He stepped into the hole and thrust the lantern out before him, chasing the shadowy darkness inside, back just a little more than arm's length. It didn't leave much margin for error.
Dog's eyes glow, you get close enough. You can see him coming.
Dean pulled the high power from its holster and got down on his stomach, promptly landing in piles of dog turds. Some of it was still fresh.
Oh, shit!
He hated the stench and the greasy feel, but Dean made himself go forward into the tunnel he'd found. Taking on the Baron's men, followed by the Coldhearts, was something none of the companions wanted to do. Dog shit or not, the tunnel offered a way out. Dean kept crawling.
God damn it, Carter! You taking a fucking nap?
I'm checking arms! Give me a bastard minute!
Ryan waved the 6-hour meaningfully at the three men. One of the men rolled his sleeves up without hesitation, revealing bare inner elbows.
All right, you sit down.
Ryan moved on to Elmore and the other man.
Hey, was that a dog I heard in there?
Yeah, had one left over that recovered. Thought the bastard was dead. It is now.
Hope he believes you, otherwise we might have company.
It'll be easier for Dean and Jack to find the other end of that tunnel than for Naylor or his people to find it.
Mayhap they would not want to traverse it even should they chance upon its location. The very pits of hell should not be any worse, I would wager.
They wouldn't have to go through it unless they just wanted to. They could just put a man on the other end of it and have him shoot anybody trying to come out of it armed. Then it's a matter of who runs out of rations first.
And there's always the Coldhearts waiting in the wings.
Doesn't matter. One way or another, we're not going to be here much longer. Elmore, let me see your arm.
The man rolled up one sleeve and showed the scarred interior of his elbow.
Now the other one.
What's happened here? You can't possibly understand how important that could be to our futures. All of our futures.
My dear Ryan, maybe we should batter with the sect chief. At least buy a little more time to find out if Jack and young Dean are indeed able to find a way from this structure that will not put us beneath the crosshairs of enemy weapons. I, for one, would endeavor to discourse with this man at length about the conspiracy theories he might have. When I visited the first future I was subject to, conspiracy theories were all the rage. Not a few of them were dedicated to aliens and abductions and numerous other phenomena.
You're pissing in the wind, Doc. I got a sick chief out there who says he'll go away if I give this man to him. And this man is nothing to me.
And should this man Naylor not be as honest and forthright as he presents himself to be?
Then I lose a man who's not one of us to be certain of that. Cheap enough buy-in on a shaky play.
Heartless bastard, aren't you?
It keeps me breathing. Get over to the door.
And tried to answer, but the words stayed locked up tight inside her.
I'm still here. Even in death, the Chosen are never truly helpless.
Mildred? I'm blind!
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.